My name is Connor Ferguson. I'm a senior plant and soil science major at Oklahoma State University, and the title of my presentation is The Evaluation of Winter Wheat Sensitivity to the Herbicide Metribuzin. I did my research project under Dr. Joe Armstrong. He's an assistant professor of plant and soil sciences and the Oklahoma State Weed Extension Specialist. So basically, in the state of Oklahoma, winter wheat is king. It comprises over 5.5 million acres of the state's 9 million acres of cropland and brings in over $1 billion to the state's economy every year. The problem with winter wheat cropping systems in the state of Oklahoma is that there's an increasing issue with herbicide resistance, especially ALS resistance and also glyphosate resistance. But obviously, in a wheat system, you're not really going to have Roundup Ready wheat, so we're going to focus mostly on solutions for ALS-resistant weeds, because resistance weeds cause problems with yield loss. It causes grain quality issues because the weeds are competing with the crop for the same resources and usually do a better job of competing against the crop. The two main weeds we're going to focus on are Italian ryegrass, which is seen right here. It's a multi-spikelet head with a deep green forage, and cheatgrass, which is seen here, which is Bromus secolinus. And a brief note, by cheatgrass, I don't mean downy brome, which is Bromus tectorum. It's a different species. But basically, these are the two weeds with the greatest amount of ALS resistance in Oklahoma, and these are the ones that most wheat producers are finding they have the hardest time controlling. So in trying to find a solution for these producers, we had to sort of go back to the drawing board and figure out what we can do to help them take care of their problem. This has unfortunately become a typical situation in Oklahoma. This is in Noble County, which is in north-central Oklahoma, and it's basically a weed field with some wheat scattered in there somewhere. I mean, as you can tell, the right up here, the Italian ryegrass is standing far above the canopy. And when you get to this point, yield loss is far beyond, you know, already happened at this point. And the problem is once you get to this point, it's already gone to seed production, and so you've already run into the issues where you're going to be finding the same problem next year. So trying to control this problem, obviously, by this stage is way too late. So we need to try to find a way to control it a lot sooner and with something that's going to get the job done. So our solution, Metribuzin. Metribuzin is one of the older herbicides on today's market. It's normally sold in the form of Syncor, or it's now also sold in the form of Axiom, which combines not only Metribuzin, but Flufenacet, which is sort of a residual weed control. And what it does is it's a photosystem II inhibitor. So essentially in photosynthesis within the plant, it basically shuts off the photosystem II pathway, which prevents it from going on to completion, so it basically starves the plant to death. It's a great job, it does a great job of controlling weeds and is incredibly affordable. In fact, according to the Nebraska Weed Guide 2010, when you average it out to the rates that we use for our control in the experiment, it's about $2.40 an acre. So very affordable, and it's a new weapon that producers can use to take care of their problem. The downside to Metribuzin is it's so good at controlling these weeds that it also does a good job of controlling wheat too. So in trying to get this back into the rotation for producers, we had to sort of figure out, based on what variety they plant, what sort of injury they may end up having and sort of how they can plan for that. So what we did is we took 18 of Oklahoma's most popularly planted wheat varieties from 2010 and analyzed their sensitivity or tolerance levels to Metribuzin. We basically, these 18 varieties account for 95% of the varieties planted within the state of Oklahoma, so it covers most everything you're going to see in a typical production system. We applied Metribuzin at 52.5 grams of active ingredient per hectare, 105 grams 210 grams and 420 grams of active ingredient per hectare, or 1 ounce, 2 ounces, 4 ounces, and 8 ounces per acre. Basically, just looking at sort of what sensitivity and tolerance levels these varieties have, and does it change when we increase the basically the application rate. The one we're going to be focusing on most for this presentation will be the 105 grams of active ingredient per acre, per hectare, or the 2 ounces per acre rate, because that's the typical amount of Metribuzin applied in the form of Axiom, which, as I mentioned, is a bit of a newer herbicide to the market and something that we'd like to see a lot more wheat producers use. We sprayed the wheat at the 1 to 2 leaf stage because this is the optimal time, especially with Axiom, since you do have that soil residual and fluvifenoset, to take care of the problem. And it's early enough that it will really sort of, I guess, expand what you would see if you applied it to the plant later to really figure out truly what the tolerance or sensitivity of these varieties are. And then we clipped these plants at the soil level and took the fresh weight of the comprised plants in the pot. So this is a picture. This is a greenhouse study. All the trials we did were in the greenhouse. And what we did is we planted the varieties in the pots and then send each pot down to 5 plants. That way, each plant has 5 pots. It's a lot more of a uniform way to ensure that, you know, we're seeing differences that are actually happening instead of just sort of a difference in the mass of each of the plants. So what we would do is we would send it to 5 pots, 5 plants per pot, spray it, and then clip it at the soil level. And so what we did is for our data, we comprised all of the plants within the pot and how they responded to the various rates that we applied, and then basically analyzed it using ANOVA with the LSB at 0.1, and it's converted basically to the percent of fresh weight reduction within each of the plants. And what we did is we did 5 trials per variety. We did, as I said, the 1 ounce, the 2 ounce, the 4 ounce, the 8 ounce, and a control, and then 4 replications per trial. That way we had about 20 pots per plant, so about 360 pots total. And so this is what we found. As you can see here on the x-axis, we've got the 18 most popular varieties, and then on the y-axis, we have the percent of fresh weight reduction. And none of these varieties may be familiar to you. These are ones that have mostly been developed for Oklahoma and sort of the southern Great Plains. But these, as I said, are the 18 most popular varieties in Oklahoma. And this is sort of what we found, was that at the low end, we've got Endurance here, which is about 35% fresh weight reduction versus the control at the 2 ounce rate, which, as I mentioned, is the 105 grams of active ingredient per hectare, and then all the way over here to Jagger, which is almost 80% fresh weight reduction at the 1 to 2 leaf stage. And so what we did is statistically we grouped these by their least by their statistical differences. So this first grouping, which has the A designation, means that statistically there was no difference between Endurance and Jackpot and all of them in between. So that's what we would call our first group, or the most tolerant or least susceptible varieties to metribuzin. This next group kind of is a transition. As you can see, there's no A designation, but yet there's no H designation, so it's kind of in between for OK Bullet, Fuller, and Overly. Basically, we'd call these sort of semi-tolerant or semi-susceptible. And then the last group, from TAM-101 all the way to Jagger, has the H designation, which we would call the most susceptible or the least tolerant varieties to metribuzin. Some interesting things we did find out about basically how they responded. As I mentioned, Endurance and Jagger make up both ends of the spectrum, which you may think, you know, okay, well, that's interesting, but what does that mean? Well, in the state of Oklahoma, Endurance and Jagger are the two most popularly planted varieties, and in fact, the percent, the amount of acres between the two aren't very big. But depending on which you planted, if you were going to put metribuzin into your rotation, could mean a huge difference in the end. If you planted Endurance, you're looking at around 35% reduction. Whereas if you planted Jagger, you're almost looking at 80% reduction in fresh weight. So it's important for the producer when they're planting to sort of know what's going to happen, especially with these two being the two most popularly planted varieties and having completely opposite results. This experiment was also a replication of the same experiment at Oklahoma State done in the mid-70s under Dr. Thomas Pieper. And in his results, he found that TAM-101 back then was the most tolerant variety, and Triumph 66 was the most susceptible. Since the mid-70s, all of these varieties have come out, from Endurance to Overly. Those are all newer than the mid-70s, but as you can tell, that they are actually all more tolerant to metribuzin than TAM-101. Likewise, Jagger came out after the mid-70s and is yet more susceptible than Triumph 66. So it's just interesting to note that kind of the newer varieties in general show better tolerance to metribuzin than what we found back in the mid-70s. And seeing these new varieties come to the market, even if, you know, a new one hits the market next year, if we're not able to test it, it could sort of give producers a baseline of what they can expect. Basically, the idea that most of the newer varieties are, in general, going to be more tolerant to metribuzin. Oh, I guess I'm going back. Okay, so basically what we want to do is we want to get metribuzin into the hands of the producers. We'd like them to start putting it into their rotation because, as I mentioned, it's not only economical, but it does a great job of controlling ALS-resistant cheat, and it does a good job of Italian ryegrass. So if you have, like, that producer in Noble County, both of those problem weeds that you know are resistant, then putting metribuzin into your rotation is not going to break the bank, and it's also going to take care of the solution, take care of the problem rather early. So it's something we'd really like to see. And as I mentioned, that sort of in general, the newer varieties do show better tolerance since the replication from the mid-70s. So we're currently doing another run of this experiment in the greenhouse to hopefully reinforce what we already know. The data that I presented was from two other runs, so it's sort of a compilation of the two. And we're hoping that this third run shows basically what we know. That way, after that, we can release sort of an extension guide for producers to give them an idea before planting next fall that based on if they want to add metribuzin to their herbicide rotation, they can sort of figure out which variety would be better to plant for them, sort of erring more toward endurance than Jagger. And certainly besides just this, if we can, you know, make a huge progress on this resistance problem, is certainly finding future ways to tackle resistance problems within the state with different weeds and different cropping systems. And so I hope you guys enjoyed my presentation. Here's my references, and I'll be happy to take any questions you guys may have. Mm-hmm. Well, in general, metribuzin versus like a Holon, which would be more of an ALS herbicide, which is what a lot of the weeds have become resistant to, it does not affect wheat as much. And in fact, metribuzin is kind of one that affects wheat sort of to a much greater degree than you'd see in really any of the other herbicides you might use. Since those have mostly been developed for a wheat system to where it wouldn't end up affecting the crop. Metribuzin is used a lot in soybeans, and even some soybean varieties show better tolerance or better susceptibility, which is why a lot of the newer herbicides that are in most soybean rotations sort of do a better job of not affecting the plant. Well, as I mentioned, that wheat is by far the state's number one crop. It's about 5.5 million acres. Soybeans are actually Oklahoma's number two at 400,000. So most wheat producers don't plant soybeans. They're usually kind of wheat, you know, fallow wheat or wheat. So in general, there's not sort of that breakup period because most of the producers, unlike the picture that I showed, that do rotate, don't have as great of an issue with these resistant weeds because they do have other crops that they can bring in new herbicides. It's mostly for the continuous wheat farmers that don't rotate, that have this problem that sort of pops up year after year. That was something we considered. We really, I mean, one to two leaf stages really on the early edge, which, as I mentioned, we sort of looked at because in our line of thinking, it would exacerbate the susceptibility or the tolerance if it was present. And also, too, in the form of Axiom, you have flufenicet, which has really good residual control, which you'd kind of want earlier than others. So I think it's possible that maybe at a later stage they might show, I'd say in general, at a later stage they'd probably all show greater tolerance.